Amen. Do you feel His presence this morning? Hallelujah. In His presence, the Scripture says there is fullness of joy. Amen. Hallelujah. In His presence, fears have to fade away. Amen. Hallelujah. Sickness has to flee. Doubts have to go. At the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I think I'm going to go to Zechariah chapter 2 this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. One of the folks in conference ministered on this the first night, and so I'm going to take it as a jumping off point, and I'm going a little bit different direction. But, you know, we've been declaring in the house here, and, you know, what we've been saying, that God is up to something big. Do you believe that? Yeah. Hallelujah, that God is up to something big. And, you know, sometimes I believe our prayer life is directly connected to how big we think our God is. Amen? You know, sometimes we don't dare to ask God for big things. Amen? I think sometimes we limit ourselves in what we really think God can do or will do for us. And sometimes I think even we limit our prayer life, we limit our dreams, we limit our abilities sometimes. Before I go to Zechariah, Carlin, go ahead and bring me up Jeremiah. Did I give you Jeremiah 32:27? Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. And then he asked a question. Is there anything too hard for me? Now I want you to think about that scripture for a moment. It says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? That's a question. Amen? Got a question mark on there. What's the answer to the question? What's the answer to the question? What's the answer to the question? No. The question is, he's asking a question. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And so I think we have to settle that in our mind. The scripture says there's nothing too hard for him. Amen? And as I was pondering this scripture, I woke up with it on my mind this morning, and I went to my Bible and looked it up, and I have it marked with a little red circle. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And then I have a little arrow, and I pointed that arrow to the bottom of my page. It says 9/29/86. 9/29/86, and that was a prayer that I was praying back in 9/29/86, and that prayer was, I was praying for Dan to get day shift. He was on second shift at the time. He was working at a plant briefly, and so we could have our babies and had insurance and all of those kind of things, and I wanted day shift, and at the time, that seemed like an insurmountable thing. It seemed like it wasn't possible. How many know God worked that prayer out and way above and beyond, even more than that. But to me at the time, it seemed like a big thing. And you know, I think sometimes it would do us good to chronicle sometimes our prayers and our results and our, you know, to go back and say, man, what seemed like a big thing then seems like a very small, insignificant thing now. Amen? Hallelujah. Anybody ever ask God for something big? Jeremiah says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And you said the answer is no. Hallelujah. If we believe that, hallelujah, if we believe that, there is nothing that is too hard for God. In Zechariah chapter 2, I want to jump over there this morning, and then I'm going to go to Kings. But in Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, chapter 2, the book of Zechariah is written from a people who are trying to recover a dream. Amen? They're trying to rebuild the temple. They're trying to recover a dream. And this portion of Scripture talks about a measuring rod. What do you do with a measuring rod?
Measure
things. What kind of measuring rods are there? What kind of measuring? A yardstick, a ruler, a tape, a laser, string with knots. The builder back there. There's measuring cups, measuring vessels, arms, feet. All of those are means of measurement, aren't they? Hallelujah. Why would you measure something? Why do you measure something? To want it exact, to find the length, to see how big somebody's... Make sure your fish is bigger than the next person's fish. All kinds of reasons to measure things, amen? This portion of scripture in Zechariah chapter 2 says, verse 1, "And I lifted up my eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, Whither goest thou? And he said unto me, To measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof." He's talking about a natural Jerusalem, but how many know we are the heavenly Jerusalem now? We are the city of God, the new city. Hallelujah, the city of God, the city of Jerusalem. "And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto me, Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, for the multitude and men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her." That's good news today. Amen? Yeah. "Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. For thus the Lord of hosts, after the glory which hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye." Say that with me today. "For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake mine hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the holy land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O flesh, before the Lord, for he has raised up out of his holy habitation." The scripture says, starts out by saying, "And behold, I looked with mine eyes, looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand." And he goes on to say, "And I went to measure Jerusalem, but it was as it were a city without walls for the inhabitants thereof." In other words, the city could not hold the inhabitants thereof. And the thought this morning that the minister spoke in Georgia was, it's time to put away your measuring rod. It's time to put up your measuring stick. And the reason I say that is because when we measure, most times we measure way too small. When we make our estimates, when we make our measurements, when we do our thing, we measure way too small. As I was studying this and I was thinking about it, I went back and I was reminded of the scripture that was fulfilled for me back in 86, that God accomplished that thing, which seemed like such an insurmountable thing at the time. But years later, it seems so small and insignificant to me now. Aren't you glad for the days when it seems small and insignificant? But what I want to say to you today is, throw away your measuring rod, because we're measuring way too small. What I was reminded of is when we got ready to build this new sanctuary, we said, we need more room, we need more space. But we said, it's only full of conference. What are we going to do with all that other space? When we were thinking about how big to build it in, you know, and we were making the size. And as I walked around this place again, and I know I've talked about camp a lot lately. When I walked around this place on June, that week of June at church camp, there was not one inch of this property that was not filled somewhere with some kind of activity or session, and did not have enough space to accommodate. We had dance sessions and workshops and dramas outside because we did not have space for them to even have floor space to operate. We had drum lines working in the parking lot. We had dance teams down on the basketball court. We had drama out on the side. And we said then when we measured, what are we going to do with all of this space? What I want to say to you is this morning is most of the time when we measure according to a vision that we think. And we look at things and think, you know, how will this ever work? How will this ever be accomplished? And we measure way too small. And I want to say to you this morning, throw away your measuring rod and start dreaming big. Start thinking big things. And I say that prophetically to this house this morning. And I could go around and start saying, thus saith the Lord. But I want to say to you, throw away your measuring stick and quit limiting yourself to what you think finances say, what you think your dream says, or what you even think your ability says. Get rid of your measuring stick, because the glory of the Lord, the scripture said, is in the house, is in Jerusalem. And he that touches you touches the apple of my eye. And I declare to you this morning, you are the apple of his eye. You are the very inset of the vision of God. When God's eyes looks at you, you are the apple of his eye. And he said, he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. And I declare over this house this morning that you are the apple of his eye. And God wants to do great things in and amongst his people. How many believe that this morning? Hallelujah. And so I vow and declare that I'm not going to measure God anymore. I'm not going to limit God to what I think, because I'm going to tell you, he has already surpassed what I thought could be accomplished in my life. If I was to never go any farther than this, God has so superseded anything that I thought could be accomplished, and the best is yet to come. I'm declaring that the best is yet to come today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, that there are things inside of us that God wants to develop. We have only just begun to see the glory of the Lord and the demonstration of the power of God in your life. So I want you to know, if you're sitting here this morning and you're debating and wondering, how can this work and can this possibly happen and could I dare to dream? I want you to tell you today, lift up your hands and say, I'm going to dare to dream. I'm going to get rid of my measuring stick. I'm going to stop limiting to God to what I think that he can do. I'm going to stop limiting to God what I see with my own natural eyes or by the vision of my head, because the vision of God is way bigger than anything that I've ever seen. And you know what happens sometimes? I think we come comfortable and complacent and say, I'm okay right here. And if it doesn't get any worse than this, I'll be all right. But how about if it would just get better from here on out? Anybody ready for it to get better and bigger from here on out? Hallelujah. So throw away your measuring stick today, because he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to go over to 2 Kings, I believe it is, Carlin. And that's where I want to take my text today. Hallelujah. How many know we measure way too small? How many of you would like to have a bigger house? Bigger closet, bigger budget, amen? What's the reason you don't have the bigger things? It's because you put a limit on what you either thought you could afford, what you thought you could handle, what you thought you could. We set limitations, amen? Either according to your budget, and there's nothing wrong with living with, you know, realistically, I'm not saying that. But how many know sometimes we look at where we are right now instead of looking where we need to be down the road, and, you know, and where God wants to take us to in bigger things. And those things apply to us in you know, in our finances, in our careers, in our homes, in our houses, in our, you know, we have been praying here in the last while for homes and for families. Amen? Hallelujah. And I believe we just need to be in on a crusade for families, where we just are saying, you know what, I just believe God big enough to take care of my family, to take care of my kids, to take care of my children, to take care of my grandchildren. I'm just going to dare to believe God that before they ever belonged to me, they belonged to him. And before I ever named them or knew them, God knew them from the womb. How many know the prophet Jeremiah said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And I ordained you and declared you and set you as a prophet to the nations. Before your parents even knew that you was just an idea in their mind, I formed you in your mother's womb, and I had purpose, and I had destination, and I had calling for you. Hallelujah. I mean, no, God has them in the palm of his hand, even though it doesn't look like that to us sometimes. Amen? Hallelujah. And so we got to dare to believe God to handle every area of our life, every circumstance in our life, and say, you know, I'm not going to put limitations on God. I mean, we limit God in a lot of ways. We limit him by what we think our faith can accomplish. We limit him by thinking by our worthiness, because we think a lot of times God answers on the merit of who we are, or how good we are, or how much we've tithed, or how great we, you know, all of those kind of things. I mean, no, we receive from God on the basis of how good he is, how big he is, how great he is, how righteous he is, because all of us stand before him naked. Hallelujah. Amen. We stand before him not in our own righteousness, but in his righteousness. Aren't you glad that you don't have to stand before God in your righteousness? Because the scripture declares that your righteousness is as filthy rags. Hallelujah. But he that knew no sin became sin, that I could become the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. So we become righteous by virtue of the cross and by no other way. Amen. But by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so in 2 Kings, go ahead and bring that one up, Carlin. 2 Kings chapter, 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4, I believe it is. I want to talk to you this morning about a little lady. In verse 1, it says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen, or slaves, to pay my debt. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Hallelujah. How many know what you need is in the house? What you need, everything that you need is in the house. In this house, and how many know it is in the house of the Lord? You don't have to go searching for what you need outside of the house of God. How many know there's oil in the house? There is oil in the house, and the oil is representative of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God that lives and resides in us, the anointing of God upon our life. Many times in the Old Testament, the prophets, the kings, and things were anointed with oil. It sanctioned them. It set them apart, called them as prophets or kings and things like that. How many know Jesus comes along in Luke chapter 2, and he stands up in the temple, and he said, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are captive, to preach acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. How many know he stood up and said, The anointing, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. How many know the anointing, the oil of God is upon you, not just upon you today, but it's in you. It's in the house. How many know the Holy Ghost lives and resides inside your house? Amen. His anointing, his spirit, his presence is in your house. It's in your vessel, in your being. It's in this house today. But how many know the reason that the presence of God are here in this house is because you brought the presence of God with you when you came. The presence of God that's inside of you. When we came together in this house, how many know there is there is an apothecary blending of spices and ointments in the house as we all come together with a different flavor? Do you believe that this morning? That there are different spices in the house. There are different anointings. There are different callings. There are different talents in the house. And when we come together in a place of worship and we begin to let those spices and those ointments flow, how many know they're like a precious ointment? The scripture says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like precious ointment that flows down from the head of Aaron to his beard and even to the hem of his garment. How many know when brethren come together in unity, there's some oil that flows. There's some anointing that happens. There's some things that begin to flow, and where those things begin to flow, how many know they can bring healing? They can bring life. They can bring hope into your life. Hallelujah. The anointing and presence of God is in your house today. And so what the prophet says to the woman, he doesn't say, oh, just forget you're dead. He says, what do you have in your house? What's in you? What do you have? What can you do? What can you produce? What do you have in you? And she says, I don't have anything except a little pot of oil. Now, I looked this up yesterday. Number one of the things you have to know here is that this woman is the widow of Obadiah. The prophet Obadiah. Obadiah was the prophet who hid 100 of the servants when Ahab and Jezebel were looking to kill the prophets and kill the servants of God. Ahab was the man of God. He was the prophet who hid the 100 servants, 50 and 50 in a cave, and fed them bread and water. How many know her husband was the prophet Obadiah who had passed away? When the prophet Elisha sends her to go get the oil, he's not sending her in like the widow of Zarephath when she says, I've got a little bit of oil and a little bit of meal, and I'm going to make a cake, and me and my son, we're going to die. How many know a lot of times in our religion, if we're not careful, we have a little bit of oil and a little bit of meal mentality, and we're just waiting for the moment when it's just all going to be over after a while. I mean, we don't have to live in a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil frame of mind. Hallelujah. He said, while you're up, man, would you bring me a little bit of cake? Bring me a cake and bring me a little bit of water. And she says, while she goes to get the water, and she turns around and looks at him and says, man of God, where have you been? Don't you know that there's a famine in the land? And by the way, you produced the famine. We don't have water. We don't have cake. Me and my son, we're going to eat this little bit of meal, this little bit of oil, and then we're going to die. He says, you go bring to me first. And she brings him the little cake, and she brings him a little bit of oil. The scripture says, as she begins to pour out to him, how many know the scripture declares that her cruse of oil never went empty, nor did her barrel run out until the day when God sent rain upon the land, upon the earth. Hallelujah. I mean, no, there is provision in God's house. There is provision in responding to God's voice. How many know sometimes if we'll listen for the voice of God, we can have wisdom in all kinds of areas of our life. And as we respond to those, we make avenues for God to start causing things to fall into place for us. Hallelujah. Absolutely.
So, the idea was to seek God first. Seek the kingdom of God first.
Amen. Put God's command first and seek ye first the kingdom of God. Pastor Shirley Sharon, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How many know she responds to the prophet? God brings increase to her house. Hallelujah. But this pot of oil in the next widow's house is not that pot of oil where you would make a cake out of it. It's not canola oil or olive oil or baking oil. It is the flask that the man of God had, the prophet Obadiah, would have had a flask. It would have been his anointing oil, just similar to what the anointing oil would have been of like the man of prophet Samuel when he goes down to the house of Jesse and he said, Jesse, God told me that there's a prophet, there's a king in your house, and I come to anoint a king in your house. How many know the anointing oil, the vessel, or the flask of the man of God is a powerful anointing? Hallelujah. What he's asking her for is not her cooking oil. He said, go get the man of God's oil and bring it to me. Now, I always thought about this big pitcher of oil, probably some kind of something you'd see over in Israel, some kind of big earthen vessel full of oil. But what I can understand and what I could find on it says that it was probably a flask about this big, and it held about 1 to 2 ounces of oil, and it came out one drop at a time. How many know if you're going to multiply oil, that's a whole lot of multiplying that you're going to have to do. Amen? And he tells her, he says, what do you have in your house? She said, I don't have anything except a pot of oil, a flask of oil. Let me see if I wrote the name down here. It's called an osuk. It's a word for pot. It means to smear over with oil, to anoint. It was a tiny bottle, and you would use it one drop at a time, and it held 1 to 2 ounces. And so he says to the woman, to the widow, she says, the creditors are coming to take my sons to pay my debt. And he says to her, what do you have in your house? How many know we do not have to allow the creditors or the debtors to enslave our children? I mean, that's what's trying to happen, what's trying to take place in her house. The debtors are trying to come take her children to make them slaves, to make them bondsmen, to pay a debt that she could not pay. Aren't you glad this morning there's been a debt paid that we could not pay? He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay, but thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit that paid my debt for me. Hallelujah. How many know you can be debt free? Hallelujah. You can be debt free. You don't have to be a debtor to the law. You don't have to be a debtor to sin. You don't have to be a debtor to bondage. And we do not have to come under bondage or slavery to anything. Hallelujah. And her fear was that her sons or her children are going to be made slaves because of a debt that she thinks that she has. Hallelujah. As long as you think you have a debt, you will be indebted to a bondsman. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know your debt was paid at Calvary? Paid in full. When we sing the song, Jesus paid it all. Yeah. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I don't think we realize what we say. I don't think we realize what we're saying. That Jesus paid my debt in full. Hallelujah. He paid it all. He disannulled and broke the contract that I had with sin and the law, and he paid in full my debt. Hallelujah. And so he says to her, go get that oil and bring it. And he said, what I want you to do now, I want you to go into the village. I want you to go to your neighbors, and I want you to borrow every empty vessel that you find and bring it back into the house. Hallelujah. How many know some? Evidently, there were some other empty vessels in the village. She's not the only one in deficit. She's not the only one that is empty. She's not the only one in need. But what she says to her, out of your need. How many know sometimes it's harder to minister out of your need than it is out of your bounty? Hallelujah. You ever been in the place of the little widow woman? Maybe you didn't say it just like this, but you said, you know what? I got a little bit of meal. I got a little bit of oil, and I'm about to eat this and die. I don't have anything else to pour out. My barrel and my cruse is empty. I have poured out, and there's nothing left. Hallelujah. I mean, no, he says to her, I want you to go borrow vessels from your neighbors, and I want you to bring them in, and I want you to shut the door, you and your sons, and I want you to start to pour. How many know sometimes you got to shut the door to some things? You got to close the door to some outside voices. You got to close the door to some mentalities. You got to close the door to everybody else's opinion. You got to close the door to negative thinking. You got to close the door to maybe what the popular vote or the popular opinion of the day is. Sometimes you got to close yourself in a secret place. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to close those things out. Get in a secret place. Find out what God's saying to you and begin to do what God's saying to you. And as you begin to do what God says to you, he said, now I want you to start pouring into vessels. Start. Now, remember, we're talking about a little flask. It doesn't tell us how big the other vessels is, but I want you to start pulling in. And the history says that it came out one drop at a time. one drop at a time, start pouring into those vessels. And the scripture says as she poured into the vessels, they were filled, and they would bring her another vessel, and she would fill into that vessel until it came to the place where they said, bring another vessel. And they said, there are no more vessels. And the scripture said, and the oil stayed. Hallelujah. How many know every vessel that she brought into the house, every one was filled with oil? She didn't get through the first four or five and the oil run out. He said, go get vessels and don't borrow a few. Get every vessel you can find and bring it to the house. How many know sometimes we need to throw away our measuring stick? We need to throw away our numbering chart. We need to think big. He said, get every vessel you find. Don't just go borrow the neighbor's pot. Go get every vessel you can find, because as you begin to pour out, every vessel is going to be filled as you begin to pour out. How many know sometimes you got to think big? Sometimes you got to go borrow above and beyond what you think God can even provide, what God's provision is. And the scripture says as she begins to pour out into every vessel is filled. Hallelujah. I submit to you today, there are vessels everywhere that are empty, that are looking for somebody that's got just a little bit of an anointing oil in the house. And the prophet and the declarations coming forth is, what do you have in your house? Because whatever you'll pull out of your house, you have anointing oil in your house. Hallelujah. And how many know as you begin to pour out anointing oil into every vessel you come into contact with, you'll find out that that oil just keeps reproducing itself. It keeps increasing and keeps increasing and keeps increasing. Hallelujah. And that oil is what keeps the debtor from your house. Amen. Hallelujah. As we begin to pour out into other vessels, hallelujah, God not only meets the need of her house, but he fills every vessel in the house. Hallelujah. How many know her sons are beneficiaries of her obedience and her response to the man of God? Hallelujah. I want you to know this morning, your children can be beneficiaries to your response to God's call in your life. Hallelujah. Don't ever underestimate how important it is for you to pour out, to be an example of a vessel willing to pour out into other people, because your generations are beneficiaries of that. You want to know how kids learn to pray? They see mom and dad in prayer. You want to know how they learn to read their Bible? You want to know how they learn to come to church, how they learn to be faithful, how they learn to be tithers, how they learn to do all those things? Somebody's got to teach them how to do those things. Hallelujah. If you want your sons in your house to benefit and not be bondsmen or slaves to some other addiction or some other problem, how many know you got to pour in some holy oil? You got to pour in some anointing, the anointing and power of God as we pour into them. How many know that's how they learn to do those things? I was thinking the other day, I was thinking about my dad and the many times that I have seen him sit down at the table and we would all get ready to eat. And my dad would sit there for a moment and we would say the grace and he would push his plate over out of the way, stand up, and go in the room because he felt like God had told him to fast. And he would stand up from the table and go into the room. And I think, man, that's a tough thing. You know, more power to you, Dad, but I'm hungry, you know, kind of thing. But I learned by example of my parents showing us, you know, what it means to hear God's voice. And many times, he very rarely, many a day, that he took a drink of water that he didn't stop and pray. He says a little prayer over his drink of water before he would take it. I mean, you know, we have to teach those things. Hallelujah. We have to teach those things. I mean, her sons saw God's demonstration in their house and in their family and saw God move for them. And some of that came on behalf of a man of God named Obadiah, who had hid some sons in some caves from Jezebel and Ahab, who had served God, who had been a faithful man of God. How many know because he had been a faithful man of God, when Elijah came to him, When Elisha comes to this widow, he realizes this is Obadiah's widow. Hallelujah. There's got to be some holy anointing in this house. There's got to be some, Pastor B. Lamont in Georgia said, there's got to be some big Holy Ghost. She calls it the big Holy Ghost. She said, you know, we sometimes underestimate the power of God in our life. She said, but I'm telling you, there's a big Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And we got to realize there's a big Holy Ghost in the house. And when he came to that widow woman's house, he said, there's some holy anointing oil in that house. And I'm just convinced that everything that's in that house is enough to supply the need of this lady and her children, hallelujah, in a time of need and in a time of debt, in a time of famine, hallelujah. We need to throw away our measuring rods. We need to not limit God to what we think. How many know one mindset, she says, all I've got is just a little flask of oil. And he said, but you're not thinking big. He said, I want you to go get vessels, quarts, gallons, buckets. We talked about measuring things before. How many know yardsticks and measuring tapes, those are too, but so are quarts, gallons, half pints, whatever it is, hallelujah. How many know God can fill every vessel? He can fill every need. He can fill every spot. Hallelujah. That anointing oil is in the house. It's in us. We have that presence of God, the anointing oil in us. Isaiah 61:3 says he's given us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, that we might be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Hallelujah. How many know we look at situations and we measure situations so often by what we see, what we think, by what we feel. Hallelujah. Carlin, go over to John chapter 6 for me. How many know God is not just in the business of adding and subtracting, but he does multiplication. Hallelujah. He multiplies. Where we sometimes think addition, he thinks multiplication. Hallelujah. And so over in the book of John, John chapter 6 and verse 1, I believe. We'll start there. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. How many know a lot of times we're tempted to follow just for the miracles? Just for the miracles. Hallelujah. But how many know if you sit down and listen to his teachings, you'll find out miracles are all wrapped up, right, in his words and what he says and what he teaches. Hallelujah. Verse 3. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. Now recognize here, it is the time of the Passover, the time of the bread and the wine, the taking of his body. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saw a huge crowd. He saw a large gathering of people come unto him. He said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. He says to Philip, my goodness, Philip, there is a whole lot of people here today. And they've been here a long time. What are we going to buy them that they could eat? And he said this, he said to Philip, just proving him, questioning him, because he himself already knew what he was going to do. Hallelujah. I wonder sometimes how many times God says to us, so what do you think we ought to do about this situation? Just to see what our response to it is. You know, I'm like the one that says, Lord, thou knowest. Ezekiel, when Ezekiel was in a valley of dry bones, it said the Spirit of the Lord came to Ezekiel, and he said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, I don't know, thou knowest, Lord, can they live? They look pretty dead to me. They look pretty dry. They look pretty gone to me. I don't know, Lord, you know, can they live? He didn't say, watch this, Ezekiel. I'm going to cause these bones to live. He said, what I want you to do Ezekiel, I want you to begin to prophesy. I want the declaration of your mouth to be something that says, wind, come and blow upon these dry bones that they may live. And how many know Ezekiel was the one who had to begin to declare and prophesy to the dry bones, saying, oh, dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes we got to see beyond what we see? He said, Lord, there's a valley of dry bones. And he said, and lo and behold, they are very dry. They are very dry. He said, son of man, can they live? I don't know, Lord. You know. He said, you begin to prophesy. And as Ezekiel began to prophesy, the scripture says, and bone came to bone, and sinew came to sinew, and life came, and said, and they raised up on their feet as an exceeding great army. Hallelujah. Sometimes what we see that looks like it is beyond hope, that looks like it is dried out, that looks like it is lifeless, that looks like it's not happening, that it looks like it's not working. Think about the declaration of the prophetic word that's coming out of your mouth. You need to pronounce it healed. You need to pronounce it alive. You need to pronounce it whole, healed, delivered. Amen. Well, we look at it and say, man, it's dry. It's really dry. He said, no, I want you to begin to prophesy life to these bones. Hallelujah. Some situations we are faced with that look like they're dead and dried, we need to begin to speak life to those situations. We need to begin to declare life into those things. Hallelujah. And so he looks at Philip. He said, what do you think, Philip? How much money would it take to feed this crowd? He said, I don't know, Lord. Verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take even a little. 200 penny worth of bread is not enough that they could even take a little, Lord. What are you thinking? One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? How many know there are 3 different mindsets here? Jesus says to them, guys, these people are hungry. How are we going to feed them? Philip says, we don't have enough money to even, to 200 penny worth, to even give them a little of something to eat. Andrew says, well, there's a lad here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? Hallelujah. I mean, each had their limitations of their belief and what could be done for this crowd who was hungry. Amen. Jesus says to them, guys, what are we going to do about the crowd? How many know our vision, our limitation says, I don't know. There's not enough money to do it. There's not enough provision to do it. But Andrew says, there is 5 loaves. There is some seed here. There's a place we could start. There's 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and to the disciples, to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Throw away your measuring rod. Get rid of your limitations. He said, tell the men to sit down. It said, Jesus took the bread, and he blessed the bread, and he broke the bread, and he began to distribute it to the multitude. And the scripture said, not only did he meet the need of the multitude, not only was everybody there fed and filled, but they went around and took 12 basketfuls remaining back of the leftovers that was left after Jesus multiplied the bread. How many know one mind says, we got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? Another one says, we don't have near enough money to feed the multitude or meet the need of these people. Jesus says, just cause the men to sit down. How many know out of a posture of rest is when we receive from God? When he just begins to do what he does best, and that's the miraculous. Hallelujah. As he began to multiply the bread, the scripture says, and they all did eat and were filled. Hallelujah. Do we have the faith to multiply the bread and the fishes? I mean, we grew up in a family of nine, so I've seen my mom feed the 5,000 quite a few times with loaves and fishes and break bread and multiply. I mean, sometimes you got to be creative about things. Hallelujah. We were there the other day, and she'd made a pot of beans, and there was some broth and stuff left over. She said, you know, if that had been my mom now, she'd have taken that broth and put some macaroni in there, and you'd have had a little bit of macaroni in that broth, or you'd have put some drop dumplings in it, or you'd put some rivulets in it, because you'd have to make that, you know, you didn't throw out any broth, because that had to feed a multitude of people. I mean, sometimes you got to be creative in your thinking. Hallelujah. I've seen my mom mix up bread many a time and feed the multitude with the bread because I think they could smell it when it come out of the oven because they would come from all different directions and come looking for bread. Hallelujah. I mean, you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. You got to have faith to believe. You got to think above and beyond our realm of thinking because logic says to us, 5 loaves, 2 fish, this can't happen. This is not going to work. And so we limit ourselves, we limit our dream, and we limit those around us that could be blessed by what could be done because we don't dare to dream bigger or higher or greater than where we sit or where we see right now. Thank God for somebody who packed a little boy's lunch on this day and said, you know what, son, you're going to be in the presence of Jesus. I don't know how long you're going to be there, but you stay till you get what you need. You stay until you make contact with the man of God, to the prophet, the man named Jesus. You stay as long as you need to, son, and take your lunch, take your bread, and take your fish, because today you're going to be in the presence of a mighty man, and you're going to need some kind of substance. Who knew that the very thing that she had packed to him was going to be the miraculous supply that was going to feed the multitude that day? You know, sometimes we don't realize those things that we sow, whether it be by word or deed or whatever it is, that the way that God can bring increase and expand what little we can put into it if we'll allow God to put his hand to it and just do the miraculous. Amen. Hallelujah. But somebody's got to think it can happen. Somebody's got to dream it. Somebody's got to believe it. Hallelujah. We went down to Kitty Hawk one year, down to the beach, and I was so amazed that, you know, they have the place there where the Wright brothers, you know, jump off the little hill there and make this plane fly, and it flies for all of a second or two, and then they get back up on the hill and they do it again. And you're standing there looking at this and reading the story of them about the time them big jet planes go flying overhead. Somebody somewhere had to believe you could fly. Somebody somewhere had to believe that, I think if we keep doing this enough times, that we'll figure out somewhere that someday somebody's going to soar. Somebody's going to need an airplane to go to the land of Malaysia and Indonesia and Thailand and minister to people across the ocean to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. Somebody needs to get rid of their measuring sticks. Somebody needs to get rid of their limitations and say, I believe we can fly. Hallelujah. I believe that we can soar higher than where we are. Thank God Orville and Wilbur didn't quit when the plane hit the ground the first time, but somehow they said, no, I think we just made a mistake. Let's do it again until we get it bigger. I mean, no, they did not invent jet planes, but somebody took the faith of Orville and Wilbur and said, maybe if we do this to it, we could fly it longer. And somebody did something else to it. Who has the mind to think that you could do some of the things that we have done with airplanes and things like that in the sky? Hallelujah. When I see them going overhead, thank God somebody didn't take no for an answer. Thank God somebody threw away their measuring stick. Thank God somebody dreamed higher than what they saw for the moment or the day and said, I believe we can fly. Hallelujah. I wanted to tell you this morning, I believe you can fly. I believe God has great things in store for us. Let's get rid of our measuring stick today. Let's quit limiting ourselves and thinking it can't be. We don't have the funds. We don't have the resources. We don't have the time. I mean, no, God has all things in his hand. Hallelujah. And he will take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and a multitude of people will be fed by the faithfulness of the small. How many know, do not, the scripture in Zechariah says, do not beget or despise small beginnings. Hallelujah. Because somebody's got to start somewhere. Amen. Hallelujah. So we need to throw away our measuring stick, and we need to realize today we can fly. It may not even be me that flies it, but maybe somebody down the road will get some step farther than I was and learn something greater and walk into something bigger than I've ever seen. So that when I stand and see that jet engine going over there with people on it, who knew? Who knew that God could do something like that in the minds of men when we dare to believe something bigger than what we see at the moment? Amen? Hallelujah. When we dare to believe something bigger than the moment. Brooke, I want to tell you this morning, get rid of your measuring stick. God has some big things in store for you. And just what time we've been able to spend together here in the last little bit, I know your heart is to see the nations, and your heart is to travel and to see things. And I believe there's a deposit of God. There's an anointing in your house. There is a flask of oil, a prophetic anointing in your house. And I'm not even just talking about a prophet necessarily, but a declaration and a prophetic anointing in your house that God's going to begin to see increase, and you're going to see it coming faster than what you think it is. Don't be surprised when you see it, but the anointing and the calling of God is in your house. It's on your life, and God's going to begin to take you in directions and paths that you haven't even thought about probably yet. But in the mind of God, I believe you can fly. Hallelujah. I tease you all the time and tell you you can't go because I'm done casting bread on the water. I tell them all the time when they leave, Lord, all right, we've cast our bread on the water. Now it's time to return to us after many days, because it seems like we keep casting and we keep casting. But I would never say that only in jesting, because what God has to do in your life, we stand behind you, and we're just looking for great things in your life and God to do some great and some mighty things in your life. Amen. Robert, there's a call of God on your life for big things. There's always been a calling and a tug in your heart, and even at times when you tried to get away from it and thought you could just walk away from it, it was no big deal. God has pulled you back and pulled you back, and he's put a desire in your heart of late that's different than you've ever experienced. There's something happening in you of late that's bigger than you know and bigger than you've ever experienced, and I don't know where God all is going to take you. But there's finance coming to you, and there's position and opportunity coming to you, because there's a calling and anointing of God in your life. Don't forget where that comes from. Hallelujah. Be faithful to the house, amen, and the anointing and calling of God in your life. But be submissive and be sensitive to the voice of God in your life, because God wants to do some things in you. And not too far off in the future, you're going to see some things changing for you in the realm of finances and opportunity. God's got big things in store for you. Amen. Dream big today. Throw away your measuring stick. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and bless the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Kevin, I know your mind, but I know there's been a frustration in your heart of late as to purpose and direction in your life as to what direction to go. But God has put some distinct desires in your heart of directions that he wants to take you. Don't give up on your dreams, and don't let go of what you think God's deposited in you. And when the circumstances seem contrary to the direction you think it was to go, just keep trusting him, because he's got purpose and desire in you. You have a tender heart. You have a desire and a heart for those who are family and those who are connected to you. And I just want you to know that God's got some things in store for you, some big things. Don't give up on it. Throw away your measuring stick and don't be limited by what you see right now, because the days ahead of you are bigger than what you think. They're bigger than what you think. And the dreams that God has placed and put in your heart, God's going to begin to bring those things, and you'll see them start to fall in place. And you'll know when they do, this is nothing but the hand of God that has begun to start things in my life. And the things that I thought, the dreams and the heart and the desire that I thought was going, God's going to begin to bring those things into play, and you're going to see the hand of God in your life. And in the two of you, you're going to see God begin to melt some things together and the direction of the life in you. Amen. Hallelujah. I pray over that baby girl right now in Jesus' name. Lord, the anointing and calling of God that's on that baby, it's not by chance or by happenings, Lord, but by your anointing. Father, we anoint her. We pray over her, Father, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, because you said before we were formed in the womb, you knew us. And God, we just call forth the anointing and the calling and the power of God in that vessel, Lord, and in that baby right now in Jesus' name. And we seal her, Lord, for the kingdom of God, Lord. We all give her life to you, Lord, knowing that you have set her in motion, Lord, for such a time as this. And we give you glory and praise, hallelujah, in this house, hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. I don't know your name this morning, but I just want to tell you that there are big things in store for you. There's a desire in your heart for some things to change. There's a desire in your heart for God to begin to do something different than what you've had up to this point. And I'm just going to stand in agreement with you this morning. Just point your hand over to her. We're just going to agree this morning that God's going to begin to turn things around and change things around for you, because the stirring and the power of God has been in your life, and you're just not even sure what to do about it or how this is all going to work out. But I want to tell you this morning, throw away your measuring stick and dare to believe God for something bigger than you've believed him for as to this point. Amen. And dare to believe God to start to change things in your life exponentially, for God to begin to do what's been in your heart, the desires of your heart, for God to begin to minister and change things for you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're in the house this morning and you want to throw away your measuring stick, I want you to just lift your hand today. If you believe you can fly, hallelujah. God, we just pray over this house this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, we throw off every limitation. Lord, we throw off every boundary. Lord, we throw away every measuring stick that would limit us or limit our vision, limit our desires, our hearts, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just declare big things in this house. Lord, I declare you to stir up the anointing of the oil that's already in the house, Father. Lord, that as we begin to pour out the anointing oil that's in the house, Lord, as we begin to pour it out on you, Father, that you begin to fill vessels in our house. Lord, that our sons and our children are touched by your power and by your anointing. Lord, that our debt is sealed and paid, Lord, by your anointing and your power. Father, that our fears are removed because you've moved on our behalf, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we take down every limitation. Lord, we take down every limit, every mindset, Father, that would keep us from receiving the very purpose and destination of God in our life, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand this morning. Hallelujah. No more limitations. Hallelujah. You were destined for greatness. Amen? Hallelujah. Your families were destined for greatness. Hallelujah. Believe God for the big things. And let's just begin to walk in what God's going to do. Hallelujah. I declare that over this house, a word of deliverance. The best is yet to come for this sanctuary and for this house. Amen. I declare increase. I declare the vision, hallelujah, of this house to be enlarged. I don't know where all that's going to go or what that's going to do, but I believe God's going to enlarge the vision even of this house to do great things. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's just be sensitive to that in the spirit and say, Lord, just bring it on. Hallelujah. We're ready to go big and go bold and go strong for what God wants to do in this house. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Stand with me this morning.